Many years ago, I went through the process of getting certified as a CISSP, which is a generic information security certification that means that, well, you know about information security. And it's not just about the technology. The technology does definitely play into things, but there's a lot of other things that go into information security as well. And that's things like, the locks on your front door, right? If you're concerned about somebody maybe physically getting out or in that's not supposed to, what steps are you taking to ensure that people can't just walk in the front door, right? Oftentimes, the InfoSec nerds get caught up on the network and people coming into the network, but if somebody can essentially plug into the network and access anything that they want, well, you've got bigger problems, right? And so think about the hurricanes that are going on in Hawaii right now. If all your business is in Hawaii and that's the only place you have your data and you don't have backups maybe offsite or have a disaster recovery site that can come up somewhere else, then if something bad happens in Hawaii, well, you're screwed, right? You're not maintaining the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of the data if you're not, you're not keeping backups, you're not preventing access, and maybe you're not taking the necessary steps to make the data, or protect the data, right? But it's not just from, the computer threats or network threats, but it's also physical threats. And, so yes, you have to, there's all kinds of disaster recovery things that you have to do. And if you're in an area, if you do business and your main data center is in an area where, the chance of something like a hurricane is high, then you have to take steps, this is not information security. This is keeping your business alive, right? And because a lot of your business relies on data and the availability of processing it. And if you only have one place to do that and that physical place disappears because of a hurricane or earthquake or something like that, then you're screwed. So now, but the other thing we talk about in CISSP is, it's not just what the different threats are, and to say there's more than just the network, but also the likelihood, right? And so a new threat that has popped up, there was an article in Ars Technica about this and probably a few other places, but the idea that you could record the vibrations off of a potato chip bag that's in the room and hear what's going on. And you listen to the audio that comes from this process, and it's very clever, right? So it's a threat. I mean, anything that's in a room, and if you watch it closely enough, yeah, you can probably figure out what's going on. That doesn't seem to be a surprise, but here's the long and the short of it. And there's a lot of things in information security. There's a lot of threats out there for many different things. And the question is, what's the likelihood that somebody's going to employ that technique against you? It's understanding who your adversaries are. What kind of, what are their resources? What is the likelihood that something like that will happen? And then, information security is not preventing risk. I mean, you can't really prevent all the risk, but you can mitigate a lot of it. And in some cases, you make the decision to go, well, that's not likely to happen, so I'm not going to defend against it, right? Or how can I defend against that in some cases, right? So, for example, the Tempest shielding, which was the big example back in my when I was taking the CISSP classes, is something that it's a possible threat but in Tempest shielding, the idea being that your computer gives off sounds and in vibrations and in electromagnetic frequencies that somebody could listen to theoretically and determine what it is you're doing on your computer. And if you really and if you have the kind of adversaries that would be doing that kind of stuff, then you would use Tempest shielding to protect yourself against that. But the reality is that most of the threats that you have aren't going to involve that. And there's a few cases where that might be the case. And so it's not a risk that most people need to worry about. But it is if you're if you're a high value target and you have a nation state after you, then maybe that might be something you worry about. And so this is kind of calculus that goes into deciding what you're going to spend your time and focus your risk on. And really, no matter what how much data you have, who your potential people are, right? And of course, now we've got a lot of random hackers. And so but the reality is with a lot of that stuff with that is with the random folks, if you make it even a little bit hard, they'll leave you alone, right? In other words, I've said this before, if you do the basics, 90% of the time the hacker will leave you alone. But if you can't do that, then you have to do then, you know, or if you have a much more elaborate threats potentially out there, then you might take additional steps. But this is one of those things. It's like, you know, I don't know, hacker level over 9,000 and, you know, nation state type stuff at this point. Now, maybe in the future it might not be, but right now it's one of those techniques that definitely it is probably impractical in most situations. But it's potentially something that can be done. And so I guess you should be aware that something like that could happen. But the likelihood is, for most cases, it's not a big deal. But it is cool technology. I'll say that.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Phoneboy Speaks. You can find all the past episodes and all the ways to contact me on the web at phoneboy.com/PS.